So to stand here this morning, as I often say, is a privilege and an honor. Of course, it takes time to prepare a preach and whatever, think about some of the things, but if it brings revelation and truth to people, it's worth investing in, and that is the truth. So if you've been part of, if you've been here for the last few weeks, you will very well know that we're in a church-wide campaign at the moment, and it is not only being led here from the front, but it is something that we're very much engaging through in our life groups, and that this next series that's coming up, this next 3 weeks about getting to know someone's name, it's the best place. On a Sunday, sometimes it's very hard to get to connect in a deeper way, and that's what we do through our life groups. So just wanted to share that. So today, part 5 of a 6-part series, Fueled. I don't know about you, but I have definitely grown in those, the energy levels, if you like, in those 4 tanks. And I'd love to get a kind of gauge on us here this morning. If this has been a helpful series to you, if you've increased in those energy levels of those 4 tanks, I'd love to ask this morning for a response. So let's try and gauge here. Wonderful. So there's a lot of hands going up. Wonderful. And so I want to say well done with that. So you'll know, if you've been here, we have a central scripture that we've been looking at. And I want to remind us of that scripture this morning as we set off with this message. And it's Luke 10, verse 27, and it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and of course, with all of our minds." And that today is the energy tank that we're going to look at. That's our mind. Let's just put those tanks up. So it's a physical tank, which is the energy tank, the emotional tank. The physical tank, the emotional tank, the spiritual tank, and the mental tank. And the link between those tanks and this scripture is this. The heart is the spiritual tank. The soul, of course, is the emotional tank. The strength is the physical tank. And of course, the mind, the mental tank. There's a saying that says that the mind is often a battlefield. And today, I'm trusting that through revelation, that we're going to be able to better understand some of the thought patterns that we have lodged in our minds. Have you ever thought how important your thoughts actually are? I'm going to repeat that again. Have you ever thought how important your thoughts are? And the reason I say that is because often we just appear to get random thoughts inside of our heads that plays out a scene, maybe from the previous day or whatever it is. Our thoughts are incredibly important. Did you know that you and I have approximately 100 billion neuropathways inside of our minds? Think about that. 100 billion neuropathways. How are those neuropathways actually set up? Well, every single one of them is set up through our thinking, right from when you were a child. So that must mean that our thinking actually physically builds our brains. And I have something that I'm keen just to read out now. This is from a neuroscience magazine. And I did some cross-checking just to see how this is determined in the neuroscience arena. And it's pretty much agreed that this is correct. So, listen to this. The average person has approximately 60,000 thoughts per day. But what is truly concerning is that 75% of these thoughts are negative, and 95% of these thoughts are repetitive. Many of the negative thoughts are driven by a fight or flight part of our brain. This constant barrage of negative and repetitive thoughts can significantly impact our mental health, happiness, and the overall quality of our lives. I just want to throw something in here quickly is I remember there was a series that we're going through many years ago, and this guy was speaking through a video clip that we watched and engaged in. It was about relationships between husbands and wives. And he was very clear when he said that men have something that women don't. It's called a nothing box. And it's a place in your mind where men go to, and there's nothing going on there. That's a good place, I have to say. So you might remember him saying that. But every single thought that we have, every single action that we have begins with thought. Every single emotion that we feel begins with a thought. Every single temptation that you and I have begins with a thought. To put it another way, our thoughts control our lives. Now, that might not be rocket science to you, but it's worth noting, because sometimes we don't think about the things that we're thinking about. Someone once said this. They said, "Watch your thoughts, because they become your words. Watch your words, because they become your actions. And watch your actions, because that becomes your habit. And watch your habits, because they become your character. And watch your character, because it ultimately becomes our destiny." Watch our characters, because that becomes our destinies. So when somebody says to you, and we know this particular saying well, it says, "Hey, your actions speak louder than your words." Yeah, that's true in some respects, but Proverbs 18 would argue with that, because it says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. James says it very well as well when he speaks about the tongue. And he says this. He says, "Take a ship as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are also steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go." You see, we are the pilots. And we steer our destinies through our tongues. And of course, when we're looking at very important area of our lives, we want to make reference to what does Scripture say about these things. So, of course, that's what we're going to be doing when it comes to our thinking. What does the Holy Spirit say about these things? And I've got 3 points, and I'm going to use these points, hopefully, to communicate what I need to communicate today. And, of course, what we've done, and often what we do with the very important points in our lives, is we link them to a scripture. So I've done that. And the first scripture that I want to read in my first point, which is transforming our thinking. "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that is Romans 12, verse 2. You see, that word transformed, if we look at the Greek word, and we may know it quite well, the Greek word for transform is to metamorphosize. And if there's any creature in the world that does an amazing transformation, I think we know what that is. It's, of course, a caterpillar. So a caterpillar is born, and all it appears to do for its entire life is eat. Eat your beautiful flowers at home. Hey? But that's what it's programmed to do. It's programmed to eat. And of course, at some point of its life, it stops eating and it forms a cocoon. The males just kind of hack it together, but the females crochet it nicely. I don't know how if they are even, but I'm sure that the female cocoon is beautiful inside and the men's is maybe a bit sparsely made. I don't know. But anyway, what happens is they weave a cocoon, of course. And after a period of time, what comes out is not a better version of the caterpillar, like a souped-up version. It's not. What comes out, of course, is something that's been transformed. It's been metamorphosized. It's been changed into something completely different. Who likes caterpillars here? Nobody, of course. Nobody likes caterpillars, really, because they got sharp things and whatever. Who likes butterflies? Hey, if you like butterflies, put up your hand. Wonderful. All of us, of course, they're beautiful. And that's ultimately the analogy of that piece of scripture which Paul is speaking about, where he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a metamorphosis of our thinking. And you know what it does? It rewires our brains. It links the destiny that God has planned for our lives to our destiny. You see, so what happens is that we have two destinies, very clearly. We have a destiny that we have planned, and we have a destiny that God has planned for our lives. And what happens is that in our thinking, it's like our thinking travels along a motorway, and it merges the two together, and it supersedes God's destiny on top of ours. And that is outworked through our thought process. That's the transformation that Paul is talking about there. The first step, I think, to any transformation or change is to be truthful to ourselves and say, we need transformation. We need change in our area of thinking. If we cannot be truthful with ourselves with regards to our thinking, it's unlikely we're ever going to change. If you want to solve a problem in your life, as I do in mine, I want to first of all pinpoint the fact that there's a problem there. And then well over halfway to solving it is actually to admit that there's an issue. You see, what happens is we become really good friends with unhelpful thoughts. And there's a kind of rule of thumb saying that I've heard spoken out that says, your personality or your character is summed up by the five friends that you spend most time with. And I think that's kind of a rule of thumb that could be true. Did you know your thinking is exactly the same? Those five or six thoughts that you spend most time thinking is what your personality becomes. And what we do is unhelpful. We take those horrible thoughts as unhelpful and negative thoughts. We don't just make friends with them, but we invite them in. And we say, hey, come and live with me inside. Sorry, Finn. Come and live. Did you bring your raincoat? Come and live with me inside my head. There's plenty space for all of us there. We're going to have a party together. In fact, if there's five of you, why don't you invite a sixth one along so we can really get going with this party? And they bring their bags along and their dirty laundry and their shoes, and they come and move in. And that's where they stay. Friends, we got to say enough is enough. Amen. We got to say out you go. You're not welcome here anymore because you're stopping me from walking into my destiny. It's going to take a conscious decision on our part to say no more. Off you go. Take your bags, take your pa, and bye. It's a good old South African saying that, eh? Hey, how was the rugby yesterday, eh? Woo! Come on. Hey, that can unite a nation too, eh? Hey, wasn't that great? Hey, singing that beautiful anthem of ours. So today, we are challenged to say no more. And we're going to read this as that declaration was very powerful, all those declarations during our giving time, offerings, tithes, and thanks for reminding me there, right? these declarations are incredibly powerful. Like James said, like Proverbs said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so we can speak life over these areas. So we're going to do that now. There's something that's going to come up here, and I would love to invite us all to read this as a declaration. One, two, three. I have been mandated by the God of the universe to undergo a transformation of my mind, to think different kinds of thoughts about Him and me and those around me different kinds of thoughts about him, about me, and about those around me. One of the best places to experience transformation is when we spend quiet time with the Lord. When we spend time in that quiet place. In fact, if you've been part of this Fueled series, you'll know that last week was all about being quiet. I think Mondays was about quiet. It was titled Quiet. Wednesdays was about just sitting. And, you know, whether it's a walk on the beach or whether it's putting on some worship music, we've all got our own ways of doing it. That's the place that we really connect. And I just want to read just a little bit about this one here, which is from Wednesday, called Sit. And it says this. It says, Elijah lost touch with his calling because he lost touch with the caller. He lost touch with his calling. You see, that can be us too, when we don't spend that quiet time in the presence of the Lord. What happens in that time is that those caterpillars, slowly but surely, become evident. We become aware of them, and then we can change. I encourage you this morning, if you have a testimony, maybe through this worship time we've had today, maybe through the message, maybe during this week, of some thinking that has been unhelpful, and you managed to overcome that this week, I want to encourage you to use that connection card on Sunday next week to write that testimony down, so that we as a church can celebrate that thing, because we want to celebrate together. We're a family. We celebrate our highs, and of course, when we have the difficult times, we get around each other and we help each other. That's what family does. We want to take captive those thought patterns that are unhelpful in our lives. And that leads me to my point two this morning, which is take captive these things. And, you know, when we do that, we can deal with them. And, of course, there's a powerful scripture that we have, which we've linked to taking captive. And it's this. It's Paul again, and he says, we demolish arguments and every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Taking captive and demolishing are two very powerful words. Sometimes even the foundation, if it's not right, needs to be reset. Of course, if you're a born-again believer this morning, that foundation is Jesus Christ. And that ultimately is where we want to be centering our thinking. I've got a little video. It's a little fun video that I'm keen just to put up now, which I can't remember who came and said to me, I think it was Jess. She said, I don't know if we can get the video going. So I thought, well, if we can't get the video going, we might need to just do a stage presentation, get a couple of people to be my cows, and maybe someone with an extension cord as a lasso. You'll understand what I mean when we put it up now. And of course, there's relevance in why are we putting this up. So if we can just have that little video clip. Come on, clap, guys. Let's clap. Wonderful. So that was just a little fun video clip, but the relevance behind that is really sometimes the negative and helpful thoughts are like that cow that's running rampant on the motorway, not only a danger to itself, but of course to whoever else it may come into contact with. It's the same as our thought patterns. And if you want to know what happened at the end of the video, I'm going to tell you. Unfortunately, as it was heading towards that barrier, it jumped over the barrier, and it got wiped out by a truck. That was it. So you can see why I didn't put it on now. No, I'm only joking. It didn't happen. It didn't get wiped out. It got lassoed. And we need to do that. We need to lasso these unhelpful thoughts. We need to drive them off our neural pathways. We need to restructure how Our mind actually works and builds. Very important to do that. You see, the truth is that we're not powerless against these thoughts. Paul says that we need to take them captive, just like the cowboy did with that lasso. But very importantly, if we're going to be successful in doing this, we need to take responsibility. We all at different stages of adulthood here this morning need to be responsible in taking these thoughts captive. You know, the wonderful thing is that God didn't just leave us to do it on our own. If you're a born-again believer, He's placed His Spirit inside of you and me to help us through these things. Can I have an amen there again? Amen. Wonderful. So what kind of thoughts are unhelpful? Well, according to that survey, it says 75% of them, approximately. 75% is a large number of negative thoughts. Here's a few that maybe resonate with you. Anxious thoughts. Ever had that? Thoughts that lead you to a place of anxiety. Envious thoughts. Maybe your neighbor's just upgraded his vehicle. Oh, look at him, he's doing quite well there. I wish I had that. Hey, ever had that? Finley? No, you haven't passed your driving license yet. Not yet, but soon. And then he can take mom to the shops, which I can't wait for. Bitter thoughts. Hey, the thoughts of maybe somebody you can't release from something that they've done to you. It might be a broken marriage. Maybe, you know, maybe you feel your children are getting used as weapons against you. I want to tell you this morning those thoughts are unhelpful. Maybe it's lustful thoughts, particularly difficult for men often, lustful thoughts. If you're having lustful thoughts about your wife, men, I want to say, carry on. That's beautiful. Okay. But if it's about somebody else's wife, I want to say that's not going to be helpful. Okay. So we don't want to do that. And I remember some years ago, we had a preacher that came and preached here. I can't remember his name now. He was a great guy. He was in his 60s. He was of Greek descent. He had an incredible testimony of growing up in through a very strict Greek Orthodox religion and then breaking free from that thing and having to even battle against family members. But he's late now, so thank you. He's with Jesus, of course. But he said, as a man, I have lustful thoughts. But it's very easy for me. I've figured out how to deal with it when I'm walking along the beachfront. I'm walking along and a pretty girl comes into my sight. He says, simple. I just take my glasses off. I can't see a thing. That's it. There they go. They're gone. So if you don't wear glasses and you have lustful thoughts, borrow Grant's. All right. That's going to help with that thing. So factors that contribute to our thoughts running wild in our neural pathways. Just three that I can mention here. Exhaustion. When we're tired, we become less positive. We have less uplifting thoughts. Our brain struggles to function properly. That's why one of those energy tanks is about the physical. Okay, the sleep patterns are important. Exhaustion is something that can really be a big issue in our lives. Influenced by others. Think about those five friends that you hold closest to you. Are they influencing you to think in a positive way about your destiny and your life? Sometimes we have to, with all the love we can muster, just say less time with those people and more time with other people. Poor input. And I was saying to Reese a couple of days ago, I showed him my phone. It's an incredible thing that happened, I think on Thursday. Just I was speaking on my phone, I looked at it again, and the screen was black. And I figured out fairly quickly after that, if I put my screen into the light, suddenly the whole screen lit up. But if I looked at it in the dark, it was completely black. And I said, hey, Reese, like, check it. Like, the Lord has a message in the screen for me to mention on Sunday. And he picked the phone up. He said, oh, no, I know how to fix that. And he just did this, and it works again. I thought, hey, Reese, come on now. Man, now he's spoiling my preach here, man. And he took it. I don't know what he did, but he managed to fix it. But just in that moment, I felt that my phone's there, but our phones becomes input for our thought patterns, especially for younger people. What we're looking at and consuming has a big impact on our psyche. I know there's somebody who is here from Zim, and they can get quite fearful because there's a lot of stuff to do with negativity relating to people that are from cross borders. So we want to be very careful with our phones and those devices. See, Paul used that word captive and demolish. The problem with taking captive is that when you take something captive, if your guard is down, it's very easy for that thing to escape. So that's why that word demolish is important. We want to demolish those things. And of course, how do we do that? We do that by training our mind so it becomes rewired. And that leads me to my third and final point this morning, which is train your mind. See, the previous point was about the control of the thoughts that we don't want. This particular point is about releasing the thoughts that we do want. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? You know what that points to? That we can actually change our thinking. Philippians 4 verse 8 says we can change our thinking if we dwell on those things. Amen. I've got two lists, or two. I've got some words that I want to compare, because we really can't think about nothing. So we want to train our minds to trade the negative unhelpful for the positive and life-bringing. So I've got about five different words that we want to trade this morning. And these words are from point two, and then of course you will see they're actually from Philippians 4 verse 8. Every one of these words is from that piece of scripture. Anxious, truth. Envious, noble. Bitter, right. Lustful, pure. Critical, praiseworthy. When we continually criticize ourselves, we can't praise the Lord in the way that he actually wants us. So we need to trade these things, and so we can live in that destiny that the Lord has set out for us. You see, the truth is that only you have the power to think what you're thinking about. Only you can think about, only you can tell yourself what to think about. Only you can press the angry button or the envious button or the perfection striving button. I can't do that for you. Only you can do that. And we can only do it when we rewire our minds. Only we can take those thoughts captive and demolish the one and replace with the other. Neuroscientists have studied the phenomenon of neuropathways through brain scans for years. I wish I was intelligent enough to become a neuroscientist. I'd love to understand more about how the mind actually works. Sorry, Finley. I'd love to do that. But there's not enough time in life. That's the truth. I'd love to just mention this quickly. There was somebody that I looked up to greatly, and he was one of the world's foremost apologists. His name was Ravi Zachariah. We spent Thursday before last at Glenridge, and somebody mentioned him. He was an incredible apologist. He just had a phenomenal memory. And unfortunately, even though he built this global ministry, and he'd been able to argue with some of the world's foremost atheists, incredible man, He was intellectual, but he lacked the relationship, the relationship with God. And unfortunately, there was a moral fall. But inside of all of us, it's God doesn't want our intelligence. He wants relationship with us. That's the truth. So this analogy that I have is, we just coming down to close, is one that I'm hoping you'll be able to picture. Because God has made us creative. He's made our minds incredibly creative. Look around you. Look around the world and the universe. It all started off with a thought through God's mind. So you approach a field, okay? As you look at that field and you survey it, it's very big, and there's not necessarily a way through. You know that you've got to get across to the other side to complete the journey. Can you picture that? Maybe it's grassy, long grass. So you step into the field, and as you step in, you start to cut a small path through it, and you get to the other side. And the next day you come along, and you scan the field, and you can see the grass is a little bit bent in that area. So you would naturally go to where you walked through yesterday, and you step back onto the into the field at that point. And after a few weeks, you come to the field, and you realize it's actually a big path that you've cut now. So it's much easier to get through there. Think of this in terms of our thinking, the neural pathways, the continual things that we're dwelling on, how the neural pathways are built because of a pattern of thinking. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be renewed by be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The neuropathways through the continual thinking that we do. You get to a particular point in that path, and you realize a swarm of a hive of bees has come and made its nest there. And now it becomes a little bit dangerous. So you realize now you've got to step and you've got to cut a slightly different path, a new neuropathway through there. And then what happens one day, you come to that junction, you forget to go left and you go right again, and you're suddenly reminded that's the dangerous way. So you come back to that point, but you don't make that mistake again. And very slowly, that right-hand path becomes overgrown because you've cut a new way of thinking. And this, I believe, is what the Lord wants to speak to us all about this morning. It's about cutting new neural pathways, renewing our minds with the truth and not with lies. Tomorrow morning, when you wake up, say, I have the power to make today better than yesterday. I have the power for today to be better than yesterday, because I'm going to renew my mind and how I think. So that is an analogy of how the neural pathways work. And as we prepare to close this message off, I would love to invite us this morning just to stand. You see, the truth is, friends, that we don't have to do this on our own. That He has left His Spirit. If you're a born-again believer, you have firmly embedded and rooted in you the Spirit of God. He's also placed people around you. If you are part of Grace Life this morning, He has placed people around you that He is determined to put in your path and in my path. I'm speaking to myself. There's people here this morning that He wants to speak. He wants them to speak into your lives, and He wants you to speak into theirs. It's called family. He loves us too much to leave our thinking where it is. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Do we all want life and peace this morning? Wonderful. That's great. Our thoughts are extremely powerful. They build our mind. And just to recap, transform your thinking. Take captive certain unhelpful thought patterns and train your mind. Steve Wimble had a couple of comments that he'd put. And I want to read one of them for you. This was for somebody that was going to be preaching this message. It says, let's remember both the saved and the unsaved in our preparation. God wants to save people through what is being preached. That's one of the ultimate goals. He wants to save people through their experiences here this morning. In Romans 10, verse 9 to 10, it says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Amen. Hey, no work required, just a response.